Hi, and welcome to the Phys Ed Podcast. I'm Joey Fite from thephysicaleducator.com.
And I'm Nathan Horn from iphysed.com.
And this is episode 11. Nathan, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Joey. Good. Just enjoying the summer and enjoying the sunshine and trying to just get these last. I've only got a week and a bit left, so I'm just trying to like make the most of the rest of my time off.
Yeah.
How about
tell people tell people where you are right now.
Yeah. Right now, I'm in fantastic, beautiful, amazing British Columbia. Apparently, now it's as it's known as, not beautiful British Columbia anymore. No, actually, supernatural British Columbia. Canada. So yeah, really enjoying my time out here on the West Coast, and always enjoy getting back here during the summer and spending a bit of time here and all that the West Coast has to offer. And you're on the East Coast right now.
I'm all the way out on the East Coast. So right now I'm in Halifax. I'm in the city for this week. Last week I was in a place called Pugwash, which is on the shore between Nova Scotia and PEI, and yeah, it's been a great summer, and looking forward next week we're back in Pugwash, and then after that we fly out, when I say we, I mean me and my girlfriend Jess, we're flying out to North Carolina for the National PE Institute, which I'm really excited to be keynote at again and giving some breakout sessions, and looking forward to reconnecting with everyone there. Jess is coming with me, and then we're going to go camping a bit in North Carolina after the institute, and then come back, fly back to Halifax, and then drive to Montreal. So yeah,
nice one.
Busy days.
So the thing is, I've come to Canada to get closer to you, and you've gone further away.
Yeah, it seems to always happen that way, eh?
Yeah, definitely.
Eventually, man. Eventually, we're gonna meet up, do
it's
this
gonna
live.
Happen. It's gonna happen. If not before, maybe in North Carolina next year.
Yeah, I don't know if we've announced that yet. Does everybody know?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure is it public knowledge yet?
I don't know. So let's tell people here.
Yeah, let's make it public.
So if you're not doing anything in the summer of 2015, you might want to save the date, because the 2015 National PE Institute is going to have a pretty lively cast of keynotes, including yours truly, Nathan Horn, and I'll be back, and a couple other names you'll recognize from Twitter.
Maybe
I don't know if we should recognize it.
Yeah, let's not mention everyone, but let's just say, like, we're going to be there, and there's going to be a few other people there who are definitely worth coming along for. It's going to be it's almost like when bands get together and they do like a super band, with like, just like the drummer from this one, the guitarist from this one. It's going to be a little bit like that. So, yeah, save the date for 2015.
It's going to be a blast. But 2014
and there will
be
a
live,
great
live
podcast.
If you're going to be there, I'm excited to see you there. So yeah, so what have you been up to out west here? Have you done any? Have you been staying active and doing any cool stuff?
Yeah, I've been trying to keep active as much as I can. And obviously, I blogged about the 100 active days, which is a fantastic initiative that is happening on Twitter right now. And like, I know a lot of people have seen the 100 happy days and stuff like that. And I just stumbled across this 100 active days hashtag and thought, oh, that sounds really cool. And like, maybe during the summer I can start that and try and be active over the summer. Cause I know that summer often it ends up being a time where there's a lot of eating, a lot of drinking, a lot of, sitting around enjoying people's company on patios and barbecues and stuff like that. So I've been trying to keep as active as I can. The idea was that I'd do 100 days straight, and I'm going to be honest here and fess up and say that I've missed a few days here and there. But for the most part, I've been trying to stay as active as I can. So I've been doing lots of different things, running, kayaking, done some wakeboarding, done some hill climbs, hiking, just trying to do as much sort of different active stuff as I can.
You're definitely in the right setting to be, to be active outdoors. That's for sure.
Well, that's it. Like, I think like it's hard sometimes, especially living in Singapore with the weather and the heat and the humidity to be as active as I would like. So yeah, it's nice here. The weather's a little bit cooler, and the facilities are really easily accessible here. So it's great.
That's awesome. So I also tried to do the 100 active days challenge. I'm not gonna lie, I was terrible at it. Not because I wasn't being active, just I kept forgetting to share. So yeah. I'm saying it right now. I'm gonna restart my 100 active days challenge. I want to set up an if this and that recipe so that it stores all of my 100 active days tweets into a spreadsheet so I can actually keep track of where I'm at. But I want to talk about an activity because like I'm out here, so like we're out east and you know I've been out kayaking, we've been snorkeling a bunch and been reading a lot too. Not that reading is active, but I've been reading and walking. I'm reading a Spark by John Ratty as part of the Phys Ed book club, which I'll talk about a little bit more about later. But just walking up and down the beach doing it, another activity I really gotten into, and this is going to sound silly, but I've really gotten into fishing. Before we came out east, I was at the cottage with my brother. My brother, 2 years ago, took an old boat we had at the cottage and completely revamped it, did a really good job. And he goes out fishing all the time in the summer. So I went out with him for a couple of days just before I left for Nova Scotia. And I got really into it. So I came out here and like, you know, you're on the ocean, so they're saying like, oh, you can catch like mackerel and you can catch like striped bass and like all that kind of stuff here. I went squid jigging the other night, so we caught some squid. And one of my girlfriend's friends, this guy, Gilles Marchand, who's, I don't understand how anybody can have that much knowledge about fishing, but this guy's got an insane amount of knowledge about it. He was showing me some fly rods, right? Like I've never gone fly fishing. So he was just teaching it to me and he was doing such a good job at breaking it down. Like he was like, oh, you know, like you could just start off like just getting the right motion. And then if you want, like you can put like a little weight at the end or just like a little fly boat without a hook and then put yourself some hoops out and then try and get it as close to the hoop as you can before landing it softly inside the hoop. And then you can set hoops a little bit further and you can practice casting with your back against the wall, like if you had trees behind you. And I'm like, man, you should be teaching this in phys ed. Like this is sweet progressions that you're giving for this skill. I just thought it was super cool. And then my brain was obviously buzzing about it. And I was thinking, and I'm gonna try and do this in my phys ed classes next year. I want to try and organize a cross-curricular unit where in phys ed, I'm teaching the kids how to, like, the safety rules behind fly fishing. So obviously there's a lot of, like, safety when you're around rivers and also, like, when dealing with, like rods and hooks and all that kind of stuff. So teaching the safety behind it. But then I want to work with the science teacher. I want the science teacher to bring the kids to the site before we go fly fishing so the kids can kind of analyze like the ecosystem there and try and like decide which fish could be in the water and then find some insects that the fish could be feeding on. So do that as like a science project. And then in art class, the kids learn how to build flies that look like the insects that they've identified in the ecosystem. And then in phys ed class, I'm teaching them how to cast rods. And then as a school, we go out for an outing and go fly fishing.
That's awesome.
Doesn't that sound sweet?
You sound like you're teaching in the IB PYP system that I teach in. That's how we try and make things happen. So sounds fantastic. I want to know though, like have you been successful in your fishing endeavors?
No. And I'll tell you why, because honestly, like I don't like, I fished my whole life at my cottage, but it was really the type of fishing where you're just grabbing whatever rods in the shed and you're going out and you're casting a few lines. So when I got out here, I'd never fished in the ocean before, and I went to Canadian Tire, and the only guy working was a guy who worked in the gardening section. He's like, oh yeah, I caught mackerel, and he told me this giant rod and like all these like different like rigs for mackerel. And when I met up with this guy Jill, he was like, oh, are you trying to catch tuna or a shark? I'm like, no, I'm trying to catch mackerel. He's like, well, what the heck are you doing with a rod that size? So now I have, if ever I want to go tuna fishing, I've got a rod for that. But I actually had to go out and buy a second rod so I could catch things that are not of monstrous size. So far I've only caught squid, but I'm going camping this weekend and I'm hoping to catch some trout. I'll keep you all posted. For sure, if I catch a trout or anything, or if I catch a bass or anything like that, I'm not even sure if we're going to be fishing in saltwater or freshwater, but regardless, expect a million pictures on Twitter because I'll be too excited. I'll just be taking pictures and sharing.
Oh, I look forward to seeing them.
Yeah.
I hear you were talking a little bit about like doing this fly fishing in your PE classes this year, and I hear that maybe there's some exciting news about your PE classes for this coming year.
Yeah, so So I don't know if everybody knows, but for the last 3 years, I've been a part-time teacher. The school where I've worked at Royal Charles has been just amazing. It's a really small school, and like I'm really blessed for like the great students I had there, and the fact that I had a principal who supported my ideas and supported my vision of what phys ed should be. But it was hard just being part-time, and it was also hard because it was a part-time position. Basically, my contract would end in June, and then I'd have to wait till late August to know if I even had a contract again or if I was even returning to that school. I loved Royal Charles, but that part was really difficult. And because of it, I've been trying to find something that would allow me to get a permanent position in a really great school. And I'm really, really excited to say that right before I left for Nova Scotia, I got a call from a school, which is St. George's School of Montreal, asking me if I'd go into interview for a PE position. And I went in, and 2 days later they gave me the call, and I've been hired. So I officially have a teaching position at St. George's School. I'm so incredibly excited about it. It's a great school. My brother worked there last year. He was teaching science at the school, and it's a very student-centered school, and they're very, very big on curriculum. They've got a very cool idea of what phys ed should be like, and it's all about like hands-on experience and cross-curricular learning, and just all the things that I really value when it comes to putting together a phys ed program. And most importantly, they just have a really strong sense of mission, and to me that was really important. I really appreciate the fact that you walk into the school, the mission statement's on the wall as soon as you walk in, and they've got their 10 guiding principles up hanging from the ceiling. Their number one guiding principle is health comes first. So
That's awesome.
this school just sounds like a dream school. I'm so excited. I've already been in contact with I'm gonna have a teaching partner, which is awesome. So I'm not just gonna be alone in my gym all the time. And she just seems amazing too. Like I've already been in contact with her, and obviously I had a million questions, and she was super sweet and wrote back answers to all my questions. So yeah, I'm officially gonna be a phys ed teacher at St. George's School of Montreal, and that's my position from here on out, so I'm really, really excited about it.
Well, I guess from everybody in the phys ed community, I want to be the first to say huge congratulations to you. And I just think St. George's School, I know they know what they're in for, but their phys ed department and their phys ed program is about to become just amazing. Having you there, and the kids are so lucky to have you, and I think this is a good reward for you for all the hard work that you've done, I guess, at your previous school and with the online community. So again, congratulations, and I look forward to seeing some of the stuff that you and the students at St. George's are doing.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. And honestly, when I told you the other day about it, and I'm not even joking when I say all I want to do is get back to work right now. I just want to get to the school. I want to check out the gym, check out the equipment room. I want to start planning curriculum. I want to be doing all that right now. But
Yeah, well, just enjoy the rest of your summer, spend because once you do get back, I know it's going to be exciting, but there's going to be times where you think like, geez, I wish I was back in Nova Scotia fishing.
Yeah, for sure. So
Nice
yeah,
one.
so
So
no,
yeah,
that's
congratulations, man.
thanks so much. I'm really excited. So yeah, I'm just looking through a list of things here that we want to talk about. Something I just want to talk about it here, and I wanted to discuss this with you a bit because last year, well, you know this because you were kind of a big deal at them. Last year, I started something called the Phys Ed Awards. And the idea is I want to create an award ceremony that recognize the hard work that teachers do when it comes to professional sharing. There's so many great teachers out there who have amazing programs. And when you're out there teaching, you're putting all this work into your program and everything, you don't necessarily have the energy to go back and reflect on it and blog about it and share it with the world. And it's so important. It's such an amazing tool for other teachers when you actually take the time to do that. So that's why I wanted to create these awards to try and recognize those people. Now, last year we had Teacher Blog of the Year, which Andy Vasily won. Obviously, Andy was extremely deserving of it. We had Teacher Twitter Account of the Year, which Amanda Stanek won. Firecracker, you heard it here first. took Twitter by storm. We had YouTube Channel of the Year, which you won. So for all your awesome work at iPhysEd, you got the nod there. And then we had App of the Year, which Coach's Eye won. So the people at TechSmith, they're amazing app. They pulled that one home. So this year we're still doing those four categories, and we're adding two new ones. The first one is Phys Ed Podcast, which obviously that isn't excluded to the Phys Ed Podcast.
No.
But we're getting a lot more people into podcasting. It's really cool, and I think it's something that hopefully by having this award category will encourage people who are podcasting to keep podcasting, and maybe people who have been thinking about podcasting to get in the game too. And then the last category that I want to add, and I wasn't sure how to name this one at first, but I wanted to make it an award for somebody who kind of dabbles in all aspects of the online community. Somebody who's blogging, making videos, active on Twitter, active on Facebook, like those people you'll see like on Instagram and Vine as well. So really like the overall like phys ed contributor of the year, and that's what I'm calling the award. So yeah, the phys ed
It's like
awards are back.
the phys ed MVP almost.
What was that?
The phys ed MVP almost.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I guess that would have been a lot, it would have been a lot easier to type it out there.
Anyway.
So yeah, so what we're going to be doing with the Phys Ed Awards, same format as last year. We're going to start off with a nomination phase where people can fill out a Google form and just fill in who they'd like to nominate for each category. Remembering that you can't, obviously, because I'm organizing the awards, I cannot be nominated for any award, nor can the site, the physicaleducator.com. And then once all the nominees are in, then I'm going to put together the polls. The community is going to vote, and it's just a strict vote online, voting for people who are nominating the categories. And then we'll announce the winners at the end of the summer. So yeah, Phys Ed Awards are back. I'm super excited about it, and I hope to see you. I hope that if you're listening to this and you know people you want to nominate, I really hope you take the time to do so, because if you're thinking of them, they most definitely deserve to be nominated. So yeah.
Yeah, I think like last year's awards were fantastic, and like there was such a great response from the community, and like it created such a, I don't know, such a like I guess a feel good atmosphere amongst the community, like where everyone was like recognizing the fantastic work that everyone else does, and sort of like it was great. But I got a feeling, or a really strong feeling, this year's just going to be huge. Like there have been so many people over the last 12 months who have just emerged out of their shells to become these fantastic contributors to the phys ed community, and sharing just so much. Like people that maybe were in the background a little bit, like not sure if they should share or not, that have just suddenly like just sharing this fantastic stuff on a regular basis. So I think this year's awards are going to be a very tight run race, and there's going to be some people in there that maybe you hadn't heard of before, or like weren't a part of the awards last year. I think it's going to be tough for those people who did win PE awards last year to back up and do back to back. I think there's going to be some pretty stiff competition this year.
Yeah, as like you're saying, like one of the best parts, and when something I hope happens is that you see somebody who was nominated, who made it to like the voting round, and then you're like, oh, I don't even know who that person is, and I hope that happens. Like one of the reasons I want to do this Phys Ed Awards is to recognize people's efforts, to help people discover great new talent or talents they didn't know about in the community, and also just create some positive buzz about Phys Ed. And I don't know if you've seen, like I've restarted doing the Phys Ed the This Week in Phys Ed newsletter. But there's a lot of talk about physical education in the news right now. There's a lot of like big publications like Time Magazine, the Washington Post, the New York Times. All these different publications are writing about phys ed. So let's jump on that. Like I've mentioned before, like health is in right now, fitness is in. You look at all these like this wearable tech, and like these apps are coming out to help you track your fitness. People are talking about it. We gotta jump on that and get people to realize, like, listen, like there's high quality physical education going on in the world. It's not what you have when you were growing up. This is what the new phys ed is. This is what we're all about. So yeah, so hopefully the phys ed awards can kind of add to that buzz and help the community itself get recognized.
Well, I remember last year while the awards were going on, like there was it created media buzz. Like I know that like Amanda was retweeted by some NFL players, and that like I think Blue Jay had like he was interviewed by CBC. It was
Yeah.
on TV. It was on radio. Like it did create this buzz, and it was fantastic to see I guess like we within the phys ed community, I guess the online community, it's we often as much as we try and advocate, like we are a bubble. The people who are in that community are in that community because they are like-minded and they think the same things and they have the same ideas about what should be happening with phys ed. And it's often hard to like to break out of that bubble and to pull other people from outside of our profession in. And I feel like the Phys Ed Awards last year started to do that. And so if we can continue to do that with the Phys Ed Awards and with all the other stuff that's happening online, I think that's only going to be for the benefit of the profession. Like I was talking to Artie Kamiya the other day online. He was saying like, like even with the PE Institute, it's during the summer months. The people who are going to that conference are people who are really committed to phys ed,
Yeah, and a
and
lot
are
of them
sort of
are paying out
like
of pocket to
preaching
be
to the
there.
con. Yeah, exactly. And you're almost like you're preaching to the converted. You're preaching to people who, and you're speaking to people who already like have that desire to be better. And it's sort of how can we access those people that are not maybe as interested in these things and sort of start to get them thinking along different lines. So I think things like the Phys Ed Awards and some of the stuff that is happening online with the Phys Ed community is hopefully helping to start sort of sway that tide a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, like if even if it just does a little bit of good, I'll be really happy. And I just want to make sure, like I said, like that people are getting the recognition that they deserve because so many people in our community are just wildly deserving of it.
Yeah, definitely. And one person I want to mention that like actually I met for lunch the other day here in BC was a guy called Glenn Young, who's you can find him on Twitter I think at Glenn Young SD36. So he works for the Surrey School District here in BC, and Surrey I think is like actually Surrey's like maybe even bigger than Vancouver in terms of the city. The number of schools within the city of Surrey, like I can't back that fact up, but it's huge. It's a huge school district. Like he's in charge of PE and athletics for Surrey School District, and I think he has something like 130 schools that
Wow.
he oversees in terms of PE. So yeah, I met him for lunch the other day, and like just a fantastic guy, like one of those guys, like like I'd never met him before face to face. Like we'd interacted a little bit on Twitter. He heard I was going to be in BC, like suggested that we meet up, and like we sat there for like 3 or 4 hours just talking as if we'd known each other forever.
That's
Um,
amazing.
and this guy, like some of the stuff he's doing in Surrey here is amazing. And like I wasn't aware of this until I started speaking to him about the fact that like pretty much like all the elementary schools here in BC or in Surrey, I guess in his school district, none of them have PE specialists in their elementary schools. So the classroom teachers are the ones doing all of the PE, which I was a little bit shocked by. But he was saying that that's his hardest battle that he's fighting right now is that like these kids are going to like high school. And the high school PE teachers are saying like these kids don't have the skills or the knowledge or the ability that they should, basically because that they're not having that specialist PE at a younger age. So what he was doing was he was sending the high school PE teacher from a certain school down to the feeder schools, the elementary schools that feed into that high school, and having that high school PE teacher work with the teachers in the elementary school to give them some ideas and different ways of doing PE so that it sort of like just makes that PE journey for that kid through elementary school into high school a smoother transition and a sort of more meaningful experience. So it was a really interesting sort of model for PD that he had happening in the Surrey School District. So yeah, if you don't follow Glenn, like definitely follow him. I know I think he presented with Amanda actually at one of the maybe at the SHAPE conference last year. So just an awesome guy, and yeah, really deserves to be sort of recognized for the work that he's doing here. So maybe he's someone you can vote for in the Phys Ed Awards, or if not, just sort of follow him and see some of the stuff he's doing because just a really legendary guy.
That's awesome. And again, it just shows like the power of the community. Like, how cool is that that you come out to Vancouver and there's people reaching out and being like, hey, you want to meet up? And I really feel like eventually that's what it's going to be like for everyone, where you could pretty much go anywhere in the world and there's going to be somebody that you've connected with, somebody who wants to sit down and talk about phys ed or just just hang out, you know, like it really feels like at times out, like we have friends in every city.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Speaking of awesome, you were talking about your swim gala. Now you'd mentioned last time, and we all know that like at the end of the year you do your big swim gala at your school, but you were talking telling me about something really, really cool, and I thought maybe now would be a good time for you to share it with everyone else.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, if you know me and you've been listening to the podcast for a while and follow me on Twitter, you know that like I'm a bit of a like perfectionist in a way, and I can never let things just lie. And like, I'll find a good system for something that works really well, and I can't just leave it be. I need to always try and improve on it. So, I had my scoring system last year for the swim gala and our athletics sort of event as well, and did it using Google Sheets and had a heap of formulas that all fed into each other and sort of just made it really easy. So basically, where we previously had like two or three people doing the scoring at the event, we now only need one person doing it because it's a lot of it's become automated. So it's just a matter of basically the scorer putting in first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth into the score sheet, and all of the scores will be calculated, and everything's automated. So that I had that set up last year, and it was working really well. And I thought, like, how can I improve on it this year? And luckily, the pool that we used for the swim gala actually had so they had Wi-Fi installed this year. So I thought, okay, how can I use this Wi-Fi, because previously I'd been sort of running a hotspot off my phone to have Wi-Fi, and I knew that wasn't strong enough to be able to do what I wanted to do. But I thought, like, all right, so there's Wi-Fi, I've got the score sheet set up, it's on Google Sheets. Why don't I live score this, like, and enable parents or anybody who has access to a device to be able to actually see the score live, rather than have to wait until the end of the gala or like at different points through the day where I used to do a score update. They can just see the score whenever they want. So I just basically set the sheet up, made it public with a link. So then got the link and used a link shortener. So I think I used Bitly, and basically like sent that out and had it on a big whiteboard there, saying like, if you want to check the live score, just go to bit.ly dot whatever the code was. And it was awesome. Like, the kids, I could see, I looked around and the kids were all going to their parents who were there, saying like, can I look on your phone and see what the score is? I can see what position I came in, how many points I scored. We had parents who couldn't make it on the day to see their kids swim, have instant access to be able to see their kids' results.
That's so cool.
And even for me as the sort of the MC or the person sort of running the day, instead of having to walk from one side of the pool to the other side of the pool to ask what the score is so that I could do a score update, I could just pull my phone out of my pocket and I had the scores there immediately. So it was, yeah, it was really cool. And I'm going to be blogging about it, and I'll, like, I need to take all the kids' names out of the score sheet and stuff, but I'm definitely going to share the score sheet and the formulas that I used to calculate it all, because it was sort of, I spoke to a couple of other people. I know Ken Ford in China at Western Academy Beijing. He's done something similar. Talked to him a little bit about it. He gave me some formulas, some other teachers here and there. So it's sort of been a 2 or 3 year spreadsheet in the making, but I'm definitely willing to share it with other people, because it definitely makes your job a lot easier on the day. So yeah, it was pretty cool. And you know,
That's
having said that,
awesome.
I can't leave it lie. Next year, I'm going to try and do something even better. Don't know what it is yet, but I'm sure I'll come up with something. But I find that's like with those athletic carnivals and sports days, like, it is one of those like things that, like, if you can get a good workflow happening and you can get something that's automated and a little bit better, like, it free, like I said, it freed up two staff members who previously were just sitting at a computer typing in results to be able to actually get out and do other things on the day. And so it enabled one of the people to go and become a bit of a social media person who was going around taking photographs. It enabled another teacher to go and spend some time with their class and do other jobs. So sort of it wasn't just a good gimmick. It actually enabled a lot of other people to do more meaningful jobs and have a more meaningful part of the day.
Yeah, it's the same thing with like my Olympic day at the end of the year this year. I use something similar too, where I would go around to every event and just type in. I prepared the form, typed it all in, and then on my spreadsheet side, it's just once you have information in a spreadsheet, once you have data in a spreadsheet, there's so much that you can do with it. So I just have it all, I had it all converted and automatically calculated the scores. Whereas last year, like I was running around trying to get score sheets at the last second and then trying to type it all in and calculate, okay, which team got what. This year was just automatic. But by the time the last event closed, everybody came to the gym. I already knew what the results were, and that was that.
Yeah, it's so good and it's so easy. And like I think the more you start to learn about, like I know for me because I was using sheets and sort of like, I mean, you can do it in Excel as well if you want. These different formulas that I didn't know of before. So I had like certain formulas that would do like sum if formulas or like so basically like whereas previously like okay all my kids they're in four different houses. So to calculate the sum of the points for the house, rather than like previously, I'd go through and go like A1 plus A3 plus A5 plus whatever, and it took a lot of time. Whereas now it's like sum if the student is in house the Newton house and there's an N next to their name, then it would sum all of those. Sum if Somerset, sum if Orchard. So it took a lot of that time out of even setting the form up, like so there's a heap of formulas that I didn't know about that through, like I said, speaking to other people, enabled me to add these formulas in and stuff like that. So yeah, like I said, I'll be blogging about it and hopefully it can help some other people out there with their events.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that post. Sweet. I just want to say something. I think I went off on a rant last time, so I'm going to go off on a rant again today. Just because you mentioned something at the beginning there where you're talking about like being a perfectionist. So I don't think it's a big secret that I'm a perfectionist and that like I have like borderline OCD with a few things. One of the emails I get most often. Like I love talking about phys ed, and I love it when people email me. Like a lot of people send like such nice words and everything. Often people want to talk about phys ed, like they have like pedagogy questions. I'm so happy to respond to that. And one of the emails I get most often is how do you make your videos? How do you make your graphics? I write back and like what I did is I wrote my own apps we use, like a blog post. So I could kind of talk about like the different apps I use to make the graphics, and I'll send them the link to that. I was like, oh, I kind of talk about it here, and like I'll send that out to them. But it's a question I get a lot of, and I'm just gonna say here. So here's how I make the graphics. Here's how I make the videos. It's pretty simple. I sit down at my desk. I open my computer. I pour myself a tea, and then I literally just drive myself insane for about anywhere between 6 to 10 hours. I cry a little at the end, and then I go to bed swearing I'm never going to make another graphic in my life. And then I'll get a tweet or I'll get a nice comment about it. I wake up the next morning and I'm at it again. And that's how I make my graphics. I do not come from a graphic design background. So everything I do completely backwards. I'm trying to learn, like, I've been toying around with Sketch, and I've tried to learn Illustrator, and a lot of the stuff I still make, I just make it in Keynote and make it in Pages. But it's really hard. It's not easy. It's not easy work. And I do have now. It's a lot simpler with a lot of things because I have a lot of graphics that I've stored up, right? So I'll have like templates, and I've been asked in the past, like, oh, can you just send me your template for this? Can you just send me your template for that? And honestly, like I used to be happy like sharing my templates with people, and I hate saying this, but what happened is that I shared my QR code poster template with someone, asking them if they said that they were interested in making some QR code posters for the site, and I shared it with them. And what I never got any posters in return. And afterwards, I saw that they had created resources for their website using all the graphics I had spent a lot of time making, and were selling them. And never told me about it. So that's why I don't share my templates. So I really like if ever I don't get back to your email asking me like templates, or if I write back and I say, no, sorry, I don't share them, I really don't want to come off as a jerk. I just like like the art takes a lot of time to put together, and it's not easy. It's not easy. And honestly, I'm saying it right now, everything I make, pretty much, like I'm gonna say like 98% of what you see on the website, I've made in Pages alone. Sometimes lately I've been using Sketch a little bit more, which allows you to create vector graphics. But honestly, I'm just so used to doing things in Pages, I'll just jump back to Pages and create things there. It's all shapes. It's just shapes, angles, and gradients, and that's it. So yeah, so that was my rant. I love the reason I spend so much time making these graphics is because when I first started the site, I wanted to create something that physical education could be proud of, that didn't look tacky, that didn't look dated, that somebody in another industry could look at and be like, wow, this looks really good. And that's why I spend so much time doing it, and I'm happy to do it. And I love hearing when people write back and say, your videos are clear, like it's so nice to look at this and things like that. But yeah, it's a pain. It's a pain to make.
Yeah, just be aware that when you write that yeah, Joey has been sitting at his computer like pulling his hair out for 10 hours.
Well, it's and
So, yeah,
it's
no.
literally that. Like you can ask my girlfriend. There's times where I just close my computer. It's like I need to walk away from this right now. And all I'm doing is like, what did I make recently? It was driving me insane. Oh, actually, I want to talk about this. But Sari Gitche Hartman, who's amazing, by the way. If you're not following her, you need to.
Yeah.
She wrote a blog post in which she was talking about standards-based instruction. She was saying how when she explains the levels of her rubrics or the levels of mastery in her rubrics to her students, she uses this cupcake analogy, which is really cool, and saying like level one is just the wrapper, and level two is the wrapper with a little bit of cake in it, and level three is a cupcake but just with icing, and level four is like the cupcake icing and sprinkles. So you know, it's like she was like, yeah, but like you know, like I've never found like good like cupcake graphics online, so I was like, oh, I'll make them for you. Anyways, I went insane trying to make these cupcakes. My girlfriend was laughing at me because I just kept swearing, and I was be like, oh, these cupcakes. And she's like, why are you so angry at cupcakes? And I was just like, I was going insane trying to put these together. But they're made, and those I've given out freely because I want teachers to use them. They're in the blog post that Sarah wrote. And if you haven't read her blog post, by the way, it's really great. Like, props to Sarah for taking such a huge leap in her teaching and adopting a standards-based instruction. But yeah, all that to say that the graphics are difficult. I'm sorry if I don't share them with everyone. I hope you enjoy them. And end rant.
Yeah, rant over.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad you say that, because I know how hard you work on the site, and I know that, like, as well, in like you don't get paid for doing that. Like, you're doing that out of a love for wanting to improve the profession, like you said. So, like, thank you. Don't stop doing it. Because I love your graphics. I love looking at the physicaleducator.com, and I know everyone else does as well. So, good job. Like, I like to think, I have this image in my head right now of you sitting at your computer for 10 hours and like all of a sudden, like, there's no hair left, like slumped over your desk, but there's an amazing graphic on the screen.
I'm not even
So,
joking. Next time, maybe what I'll do is I'll do a screencast of it and speed it up.
yeah, do like a time lapse.
Yeah, or maybe I'll just have a video of me progressively getting angrier and angrier as I go along about it.
So you talked about Sarah then and her blog post. So that was part of the Team Phys Ed Stories series.
Yeah, so this is something I really want to get going now. You know, for a while with the site and everything, like I'm trying to get the site out to as many people as possible, and I started getting into stuff like you know, I was scheduling a lot of tweets, and I'm being very honest here, and like you know, I was doing like all that like marketing stuff and stuff like that. And I wasn't happy about it. Social media became a bit of a chore. And then, like, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to start engaging with people. I want to start tweeting with people. And like, you know, I read a lot of tweets. I don't tweet as much as I used to. And it will be kind of in spurts. But I'm constantly reading, obviously, because like for this week in Phys Ed, like I have to go through all the Phys Ed hashtag tweets. But one of the things I love most about social media is obviously how much it's helped me as a teacher, but also like just connecting with people and hearing people's stories. And I want to start a blog post series that wasn't about me or wasn't about the site or anything like that, but really that just focused on the teachers in our community and how social media has helped them. And I'm calling it the Phys Ed Stories blog post series. And I was so happy when Sarah had mentioned this cupcake idea in a PE chat, and I contacted her right away. I was like, you know what, like this sounds great. And I was looking for an idea for that first post, and she just knocked it out of the park. I mean, I'm not even exaggerating here. I sent her a direct message saying, like, love your cupcake idea. Would you be willing to blog about it? And 20 minutes later, I wouldn't even say 25, 20 minutes later, the blog post was in my inbox. Like, she typed it up,
No.
and it's a great blog post. And she typed it up so good. And that's when I was like, okay, like, I'll start making like these cupcakes. And I had the cupcakes already. To put that in there with her post, but like just a great story about how she was really honest about the fact that, like, you know, the way she was assessing wasn't the best way. She was assessing based on like presence and effort and dressing out and things like that. And she realized that there was a better way of doing it. And she did everything she could to learn that better way. And she's adopted in her teaching. And I know Cyrus had difficulties like in her teaching, where in the sense that, like, you know, she's really gung ho on these ideas, but not everybody around her is gung ho on the ideas. And she talks about that a bit in the post. But like, just great job, Sarah. And she really set the bar high. And I want to just put an invite out there. Anybody listening, if social media has helped you improve your teaching in any way, shape, or form, and you would like to share your story, contact me. I will talk about how we can set up the blog post. Any graphics or anything I make for the post will be yours. And yeah, like, I just want to get as many stories out there as possible, because I think it's so inspiring to read how other teachers have really taken charge of their own professional development and have really taken the steps required to grow as educators. So yeah, so that's the Phys Ed Stories blog post series, and I'm hoping to get a couple more posts out. I'm going to be contacting some people, but again, I'm just inviting anybody who'd like to share. Just contact me and we'll make it happen.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's like you said, it's a good opportunity for someone like who has these like fantastic ideas, but maybe hasn't had the skills and knowledge or the desire to start their own blog, to get their story out there, through the physicaleducator.com. Like, there's so many people out there doing so many fantastic things, but they don't maybe have the like I said, the skills and the knowledge or the desire to set up their own blog and start sharing it. So here's a perfect opportunity for you to sort of get your story out there and let everyone know what you're doing, and through seeing that, like, other people then get engaged and say, like, yeah, hey, that's I'm doing something like that, or I'm doing something that's better than that, or that could expand on that or build on that. And so it's like this, it's just another way of having that conversation and continuing that dialogue with other phys ed professionals out there around the world.
Yeah.
So talking about you were talking earlier about reading the Spark as part of the Phys Ed Book Club, and I picked up a copy a couple of weeks ago, and I started reading it as well, and like, such a great book, such a great book.
Yeah, it really is. You know, like, the first time I read it, I'm not gonna lie, like, I read it really fast. There was a lot of parts I was just kind of like speed reading through it, and I wasn't really focused on it. And I had this idea to, like, over the summer, I was looking, I had this like this huge book stack of all these books I've collected and I haven't read yet. And I was like, man, like, I really want to read these, but often, like, not even lying, often what happens is I'll start reading and then halfway through a paragraph, I'm like, oh, and then my brain will just go and I'll have all these ideas and everything, and all I want to do is talk about it. And again, my girlfriend, I drive her insane because all I do is talk phys ed stuff to her, and she's like, she just tunes me out, I guess.
Yeah.
But I thought it'd be really cool to set up a way that we could read something together and discuss it. So what I did is I started the Phys Ed Book Club. And the way it's working is every month we're going to vote for what book we're going to read. I just picked the first one for this month because I wanted to get it going here. So we selected Spark, and it's a Google Plus community. And what I'm kind of doing is, in the community, as I go through the chapters, I'm trying to create like a little graphic or something that will like kind of represent or something that really stood out to me within the chapter, and then just put that down as a discussion point and then invite people to respond in the comments. But I'm also inviting everybody that if something stands out to you, then you too share that within the community. Like, we have a dedicated section just for this book. So yeah, and it's been really cool. Like, there's been a lot of really cool ideas. Like, we're talking about the idea of 0 hour PE. We're having like some kind of physical activity program at the beginning of the day to try and prep the brain for learning. And just talking about like, what challenges do you think that you'd see? And then what's great is that you see people saying like, oh, I think this would be a challenge, or I think I'd go about it this way. And then because of such the variety of experience we all have, people are able to come back and say like, oh, well, I've tried it that way and it didn't really work, but here's what I did. Or I wouldn't necessarily organize it this way because we had this problem, but here's how we fix that. So it's just really fun kind of having that level of discussion around these books. And for me, I know that it's been a huge motivation for me just to stick to the book and read it properly and go through. And like I was telling you before, like with 100 Active Days, like, I'm just walking up and down the beach when I'm in Pugwash, just reading and walking. Apparently, I look really weird doing it, but for some reason, it sticks better. So if you're not part of the book club yet, like, I hope you join us, and we're going to be voting on our next book title soon, because the month is already halfway through here.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Like, it's like you said, it's motivating. Like, for me, like, I have a lot of trouble reading I guess reading for pleasure, I guess, would be the way of talking about it. I don't know, this is sort of like reading for professional learning as well, but I read a lot of, like, I love reading like news and blog posts and like sort of that nonfiction sort of genre. But I really have a difficult time, even during the summer, picking up a book and reading it for enjoyment. But since I've had Spark, like, I really am like reading for enjoyment. Like, I'm enjoying reading the book. Like, I'll read it just sitting outside on the patio or on the beach, or like even in bed before I go to sleep. Whereas previously, I don't enjoy, for some reason, since I was younger, I just haven't enjoyed reading like that for pleasure. But it's nice to know that, like, I can read about this stuff and then have a discussion with a group of people about it. So, yeah, another fantastic thing that you've set up and you've got running. And I look forward to continuing Spark and then also seeing what other books people in the community suggest.
Yeah, I'm excited too to see the titles. And I know Andy's going to have a couple of titles. He sends me book titles all the time. And he's picked a few winners in the past, so hopefully we'll hear
where does
from
he
him.
Get I want to know where this guy gets like time to do all the stuff that he's doing. Like,
I don't know, he's involved in so many different things. Like, he's involved in a whole bunch of different Twitter chats, and, you know, like, Andy does something though that's really important, and this is something I've always tried to do in my career, and I'm sure you've done it too, Nathan. Is Andy looks outside of education all the time. He's yep. always looking at other industries and see how other industries are being successful and how through innovation. And that's important, because what happens is that we get stuck in this education mindset and we forget how to be, you know. He wrote a really good post lately about thinking outside or thinking inside the box. And he was saying, like, just there shouldn't be a box, because as soon as you put a box there, you're limiting your thinking in some way. And it made me think of, you remember in the original Matrix with the kid with the spoon?
Yeah.
He was like, there is no spoon. That's all I could think about when I read the post. but it's true though.
Yeah, like, definitely.
You just got to look outside your industry. You got to just think freely and allow yourself to be inspired by a million different sources. And that's what Andy just does that really, really well. And it shows in his writing and it shows in his teaching.
Yeah, and I think, like, not only look outside your industry, but I think as physical educators, we have the capacity sometimes to just, like, think, like, oh, I'm just a PE teacher.
Yeah.
And, like, I always say this to people whenever I'm speaking to them and sort of advocating for PE, is, like, when somebody asks me what I do, I don't, like, yeah, of course I tell them I teach PE, but I don't say I'm a PE teacher. I say, like, I'm a teacher, I'm an educator, I educate children, and I'm really lucky to do it within the physical realm. And to be able to be active with the kids while we're learning. But first and foremost, my mission and my objective within my profession is to educate children, in whatever way that is, that best suits them. So even as PE teachers, like, look outside of the realm of PE and look at what other educators in other areas of school life are doing. Like, what are math teachers doing? What are science teachers doing? What are, you know, these humanities teachers doing? And like, I often find a lot of my ideas for teaching, like, through what other people within my school and outside of my school and outside the field are doing as well. So yeah, like don't put yourself in that box, because especially with PE, it's really easy for other people to say, well, you're just a PE teacher. You just throw a ball out, and play. And then they've already, like, they've written you off and written off what you do. So yeah, look outside those professions, connect with people outside of PE, outside of education, and it's only going to be for the benefit of the kids and the benefit of you as a teacher.
Yeah, and that's one thing I'm really looking forward to at St. George's next year, is because apparently, like I said, there's a lot of curriculum talk. I cannot wait to work with classroom teachers, and not just for crazy fly fishing units, but just all kinds of things. And often, like, you're right, we often say, like, oh, I'm the phys ed teacher, so I'm going to stay in the gym, or classroom teachers don't get me, and classroom teachers will be like, oh, you're a phys ed teacher, you don't get us. It's not true. We're all working here with the same kids. We're working here with students. And like you were saying, like, you're an educator first. I knew I wanted to be a teacher. At one point in my life, I almost went a different way. I was going to go into marketing, and I decided that since I was a kid, I wanted to be a teacher. And I didn't necessarily want to be a phys ed teacher. Like, I've been athletic my whole life, like playing sports and being active. But I wanted to be an educator because I wanted to work with young people and help them discover their potential and help them develop that potential. And I just see physical education as the medium best suited for me to do that. I love the fact that kids, you know, like it's instant feedback, right? Like if I like I always use the example like throwing a football, but like when you're throwing a football and you get a perfect spiral pass, it's instant feedback. You see it right away. You see that you've learned something or that you're mastering something right away. And for me, it just makes it a lot easier for me. Okay, let's jump on that. Let's like so you see you have this potential. You see you're able of doing it. How can we keep building on that?
Yeah.
But you know, if it wasn't phys ed, I'd for sure be an I'd be a science teacher. I'd be a math teacher. I've taught ESL before. I just always want to be a teacher. So don't look at yourself like as like oh I'm just a phys ed teacher. Not that being a phys ed teacher is something you should be looking down at, obviously. But think yourself, you know, I am a teacher. I'm part of this teaching staff. I'm part of this teaching team. We're here for all these kids. How can we work together? How can I work with these teachers to get the most out of this kid's time at this school?
Well, I think it's something that like we sometimes forget as teachers and as part of a larger staff is like we ask our kids to work together in groups and collaborate on stuff and sort of work in a team and stuff. But then as a staff, like how often are we actually doing what we ask our students to do? So I think it's really important to like to think like in anything in education, like think like okay, what are we asking our students to do? Like, are we doing that as teachers? Are we practicing what we preach, in a sense? So yeah, like get together, work with other teachers in your school, whether they're within your department or outside of your department, and like it's only going to be for the benefit of the kids, and it's exciting. Like one of the things that I'm doing actually, like not even within my school, in September, I'm heading to Vietnam to work with an international school there, to work with their PE staff for 3 or 4 days. And one of the things that I'm going to be working with them on is like how can they work with other teachers at their school to collaborate on these sort of units of inquiry and stuff like that. So I'm really excited about sort of like for me it's a learning experience as well to see how another school goes about something, but also for me to be able to share some of the knowledge that I have with them and hopefully help them on their journey with not only like PE but collaborating and working together as a staff. So really looking forward to that. And I'll definitely be sort of blogging about it. And hopefully while I'm there, I'm able to share some of the stuff, like try and set up a hashtag or something. So even though there's only like a small group of us working together at this school, everyone else will be able to see sort of what we're doing as well.
That's awesome, man. They're gonna learn so much from you. So I'm excited to hear how that goes.
Yeah, really looking forward to it.
All right. Well, Nathan, I think we said that we want to keep this one under 7 hours. So
Yeah.
just 'cause our last one was, well, how long was it? It was an hour and a half.
Yeah, I think so.
Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
The only things, so I don't know. One other thing I wanted to talk about, because another exciting thing is I'm heading home. I'm going home for a conference. I'm heading back to my home state of Tasmania in Australia to do present at the ACCPA Tasmania PE conference at the Australian Council for Health, Physical Education and Recreation. So that's in September 12th, in Tasmania, Launceston, Tasmania. So if you're in Tasmania, make sure you go there. If you're a Tasmanian PE teacher and you're not there, then you're missing out. And I think like I don't know why you're not there. Your school should be basically forced to release you to go to that. Like there's no reason why you shouldn't be there. If you're not in Tasmania or in Victoria or you're in New South Wales or South Australia and you want to come down, you've always wanted to come down to Tasmania, then come down and go to that conference, because I'm really looking forward to heading home and presenting. I'm going to be doing two sessions, one on technology integration and another one a really hands-on session about sport ed and how you can use technology in a sport ed unit. So yeah, get down to the ACCPA Tasmania conference September 12. I'm looking forward to being home and catching up with a few people that I went through university with and sort of sharing my journey of being overseas in a way and sort of the things that I've learned on my journey away from Tasmania. So yeah, really, really looking forward to that as well.
Man, that is so cool. That because I just find so, like you were telling me about it before, and it's so crazy thinking like you're from there and you've really traveled like all kinds of places and taught in all kinds of different environments and like all kind like different schools, and it's just cool thinking like you're going back with such a wealth of knowledge, and to be able to go back and share that with like your home state, that's just gonna be super cool.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So again, yeah, I'm sure there'll be a hashtag, and I'm sure there'll be stuff happening around that. So once that all gets set up, I'll definitely share it so people can follow along as well. Because I know for me that I love doing that. I love like seeing when there's a conference on, like whether it's the PE Institute or like I know like SPIA when you're in Saskatchewan, like the hashtag. Like I feel like it's so easy to feel like you're actually there, even though you're not. So I'll make sure that while I'm there, I'm definitely tweeting out and trying to get people, other people there involved in tweeting out as well. So everyone else around the world, if you can't make it down there to Tassie, then you can definitely follow along and see what's happening down there.
That would be awesome.
Cool. All right. Well, we should definitely wrap this up unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
No, I'm not gonna lie. I gotta get back into my fishing stuff here.
Yeah, definitely. Well, good luck. I hope you catch something and then cook it up on the barbecue and enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, we were catching squid the other night, but we didn't catch. We were only catching small ones. We didn't keep anything, but. No, I'm excited. We'll see how this weekend go. Like I said, if I catch anything, it's going to be on Twitter. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, good to chat with you and enjoy the rest of your summer and, good luck going back into St. George's School, a new chapter for you. And, really looking forward to seeing what's happening. I'll be back at school in about 2 and a bit weeks. So again, like I'm sure there'll be lots of, new and exciting things happen. We have a new principal and a new assistant principal at my school. So, exciting times ahead.
Yeah, absolutely exciting times. Have a great rest of your stay there in Vancouver, and good luck to start your school year, man. Hopefully we'll talk soon.
Yeah, definitely. All right, thanks, mate.
See ya.